door knocking on Thursday evening, had some good talks with some folks, and one of the ladies from the door that we knocked on came to church this morning.
Amen.
Amen. So y'all, I'll ask you, she wouldn't mind me saying this, y'all pray for her. Her name's Phyllis, and she is elderly, and she's fearful to drive after the sun goes down. And so she said as bad as she wanted to be here this evening, she wasn't sure. She didn't want a chance being out in the dark. And so I told her anytime she can make it, and she felt comfortable that she was welcome. And that's fruit.
Amen.
That's fruit. Amen. And if we're faithful to go out and witness and be obedient to God, and when He calls us and sends us, amen. You know, He said that He would send him into Jerusalem and Judea and into the uttermost. Amen. And we got folks that are sent to the uttermost with us. Amen. They're part of our church now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there's still folks in Jerusalem.
Amen.
There's still folks, you know, right over here and over across that hillside and in $500,000 homes and apartment complexes and trailer parks and
amen.
They're everywhere. Amen. And they all need the gospel.
Right.
And I'm glad to be a part of a church that realizes that. And I believe that this is a little bit of my personal philosophy here. I believe that every ministry of the church ought to be gospel-centric. And that being said, the gospel ought to be the center of everything that we do here.
Amen.
Spreading the gospel, being a witness, being a testimony, amen. Trying to reach people, amen. We just sang the song, Send the Light, amen. That's what we're here for, is to be a lighthouse and a beacon of hope to a lost and dying world on their way to hell.
Amen.
And something you have to have in order to do that is a burden. You have to have a burden. You can do those things without a burden, but you'll be miserable. You won't be happy. You'll be going through the motions. You'll be just fulfilling religious obligation.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. There have been Thursday evenings and Saturday mornings when I didn't feel like getting up and walking and knocking on doors. Okay? But I'm glad that God gives us mercy and God gives us grace and something that's essential for us to have. We got those prayer sheets back there. If you don't have one, I encourage you to grab one. There's lots of needs of the church that need prayed for.
Amen.
And I'm on that list. Because I need prayed for, and I ask the church to pray for three things. Pray that God will give me strength to do this task that He's called me to do, to pastor this church. Pray that God gives me a burden, amen, a real burden.
Amen.
And pray that God gives me a vision. That's what I ask you to pray for. And the past few Sunday nights that I have preached, the past couple of them I haven't been able to, but before that, I did start a little three-message series on the life of a believer and what it means to be a Christian. And first night I preached on the birth of the believer, amen, how that we're born not of flesh nor the will of man nor by blood but by God, amen?
Amen.
And I preached on what it means to be born again and to be saved. I preached the following Sunday night on the battle of the believer. Because everything's not a bed of roses once you do get saved.
Amen.
There's going to be battles. There's going to be fights. And you better believe the more you try and do for God, the more the devil's going to fight.
Amen.
Okay? The more every step you take towards God, the devil knows about it. He sees it. He hates it. He despises it. When you try and give God the glory and when you try to live sincerely for the Lord. And it is a battle. Amen? We looked at 2 Timothy in chapter number 2 where Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. We looked at the battle of the believer. And with tonight's message, I pray that we can kind of wrap this series up, and I pray that it will challenge me, and that it will challenge this church, and that it will kind of set a tone for us to serve God. Amen? The Jonathan Edwards, I believe it was, he said, if you want to see personal revival in your life, he said, set your face as a sweeping flint towards God. And I'm telling you, I cannot emphasize how strongly enough how important it is that you fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
And one of these days, we talked about it this morning in the message, there's a resting place for the weary, there is a real place called heaven, and one of these days you and I will stand before God Almighty and give an account for the life that we left here on this earth.
Right.
We'll give an account for the time we wasted. We're giving an account for the time spent doing idle things that'll never matter and never count in the grand scheme of eternity. And I pray and I hope in that day that as much as we have to be ashamed for, there will be a lot that we can praise God that He allowed us to do. Amen? And in order to do anything for God, in order to do anything for the Lord, we have to have a burden. And so with the help of the Lord tonight, if He'll help me, I want to preach on this thought. And I won't be very long tonight. It's a simple thought I have. But if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter number 9, I want to preach on this thought. The burden of the believer. The burden of the believer. And for sake of the context and simply because I love the scripture that we're getting ready to read, I'm going to start in chapter number 8 and I want to start in verse number 28 because Paul is exhorting, amen? Paul is lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is magnifying the grace of God to these Roman people in the 8th chapter of this book. And what we find in the 28th verse is a verse that we oftentimes use to comfort one another in time of mourning. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which mourn." Amen. But in verse number 28, the Bible says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called, and He called, them He also justified, and He justified, them He also glorified." Now listen to this next verse. "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us, through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And just from the scripture that we've read so far, I believe that it is apparent that Paul believes what he's writing. Amen? I believe that Paul has emphasized it enough. I believe that he doesn't need to prove himself any further. And as he pens these words to the Romans, he's pouring out his heart and he's expressing to them that there is no greater privilege, there is no greater treasure on this earth than to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior.
Amen.
And Paul, in the following verses, as we go into chapter number 9, expresses his great burden. Chapter number 9 and verse number 1. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. We are the fathers of Him, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." And with these following verses that we've just read, what we see is that Paul opens up his heart to us, and through inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, he pens down these words, and he expresses the great burden that he has for the lost. Let's pray.
God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy. God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for the cross, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that draws us nigh to you. And Lord, it's so essential in this life, in this day and age in which we live, that we have a burden, Lord, a true, holy, righteous burden for souls, God. We can't do anything without it, Lord, and we know that it comes from you and from you only. And Lord, I pray that as we look into the Scriptures this evening, that you might help us, God, that you might challenge our hearts, Lord, that you might set our hearts ablaze, Lord, and help us to find that place in our soul, Father, Lord, where we yearn and we hunger for the righteousness of God and just to serve you and to please you. And God, we know that there are people outside of these doors that are dying or on their way to hell, God. And Lord, I pray that you help us, God. Challenge our hearts. Break our hearts for those that are lost. God, help us as we look into the Scriptures, Lord, to see this great burden that us believers should carry, God, and we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
See, Paul, in this passage of Scripture, he's moved with great compassion, if you can't tell, from what we've read in the Scriptures. Amen? I believe that you really get a hold of God every now and then, it's going to jerk some tears out of you, okay? We talked about it a little bit in the prayer meeting last night. It's not all about emotionalism and emotions. It's not about that. I understand that. Because your emotions can be moved without your will being moved, okay? You can have pity and you can have concern without having compassion. But I don't believe that your will can be moved and your emotions not be stirred. Amen. God, you're going to... I'm telling you, the times in my life that I've... this short time that I've been living for God that I have, when I see God change somebody's life and when I see God do something in somebody's heart, you can tell it on their face. Their very countenance will change. They won't even look like the same person anymore because God will change them from the inside out. And Paul, as he shares his great burden for his brethren, as he mentions these things, I want us to realize that this is a man who is heartbroken. This is a man whose heart is wretched and is burdened and is weighed down with this great continual sorrow, as he mentioned in the Scriptures, for those that are lost and on their way to hell. And so many times, in this day and age in which we live, church is no longer about Jesus. It's no longer about God. It's about ourselves. Amen. It's about us. It's about you and me. It's about relationships. It's about doing what makes us feel good. It's about doing what makes us happy. It's about trying to do things for charitable causes or whatever and this and that and try and build relationships in the community. And I'm all for having a good testimony in the community. We talked about it this morning. But if the gospel is not the center of that, if the driving force behind that is not to see someone come to the saving knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, it's all in vain. Amen. It's all in vain. Amen? We come here to church to lift up Jesus. We come here to church to exhort one another to service so that we might glorify God in our lives when we're not inside of these doors. Amen. In order to do so, God's going to have to change us. The natural man is wicked and unholy, and in our nature, we're not going to want the spiritual things of God. We're not going to desire those things. We're not going to seek after God on our own. I hope we understand that this evening. And if God is going to do something great in our lives, if God is going to choose us to do something for His glory, He's going to look for people who have a burden. He's going to look for people who care. Amen? My preacher always told me, he said, listen, son, it doesn't matter where you go, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen? It's more than knowing the Bible front to back. It's more than wearing your suit to tie on church Sunday. If it's only superficial, if that's as far as it goes, that's not the Christianity that I want. Amen? I want the Christianity that changes people. Amen? Many a times we get dogged on for using the term old-time religion. Amen? And listen to me. I was talking to a friend about this just the other day. I love the 1951 Stamps Baxter Redback Hymnal, okay? And many a times that's the banner, that's the staple, that's what's hung over old-time religion. And, hey, I'm wearing suspenders tonight, okay? I like suspenders. I like having church. I like having potluck and eating fried chicken after church. I love all these things, but understand me, that is not old-time religion. Old-time religion is people who desire God, people who want to see God, people who make up their mind just like David did in the 27th Psalm. And he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's people that desire God.
Amen.
It's like Brother Bill, it's like you were telling me last night. He's telling me about his grandparents. When he was a little boy, he remembered, he said his papa would be out on the hill yelling at the mules. But as he came down closer to the house, he could hear his grandma praising God and praying and calling out to God. That's old-time religion, amen.
Amen.
That's something deeper than the surface.
Amen.
And God, I believe what He wants to do in here tonight is crack through that exterior, to break up that fallow ground in our heart, and to show us that He has a greater purpose for us than to just come and get together and have church.
Amen.
Amen. It's to win people to Christ. And Paul, he expresses this great burden. The first thing that I want to see is found in that first verse. We see the witness of Paul's burden. The witness of Paul's burden. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Just to solidify a little bit further what he's saying, he makes mention of this. He says, my conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. I'm glad for those times in my life that the Holy Ghost of God puts His stamp of approval on something I'm burdened for. Amen? That's why it's so important. That's why I ask you guys to pray that God gives me a vision, okay? Because where there is no vision, the people perish. But listen to me. My vision in and of itself will do people no good, okay? I'm not here to try and run a church the way I think it ought to be run. I'm here to try and listen to God and guide this church as God leads me. Amen? And it has to be God's vision, not my desires, God's desires. Not my direction, God's direction. And that's why I ask you to pray that God is the one who gives the vision, because I, as the pastor of the church, have to be yielded to what God tells me to do. That's how it is in the life of every Christian. So many people, we want to do what's convenient for us. We want to do what's popular for us. We want to serve in our own capacities and what makes us happy. I've never met anybody that likes to mop bathrooms for fun, okay? That's what me and Brother Larry were doing down there before church. We were down there mopping the bathrooms up, okay? Nobody does that for fun. But here's the thing. We don't get to pick and choose, amen? It's not an assortment. It's not a box of chocolates that God offers to us and says, well, you can pick where you want to go, Brother Irvin. No, God chose where He wanted to send that family. God told that family 27 years ago that He was going to send them to the mission field. They've been to Belarus and Ukraine and Russia and Scotland, and God sent them all over the place. It was the Holy Ghost of God. He has to have His way in our lives.
Sure.
We notice that the Holy Ghost bears witness of this burden. I'm going to say that if you don't hear anything else I'll say for the rest of the message, I want you to hear me right now. You cannot live a Spirit-filled life and not have a burden.
Amen.
You can't live a life that pleases God and not have a burden for souls, okay? You can't. The Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, God's talking to Ezekiel in chapter number 33. And there are some... I hope you take this book as serious as I do. There are some verses, there are some passages of Scripture in this book that shake me to the core and scare me to death. You know what God told His man Ezekiel in chapter number 33, verse number 8? He said, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. What a responsibility we have. What a responsibility I have. What a responsibility you have. We've got to understand in here this evening that it's not a game, okay?
Amen.
It's more than something religious. I'm not trying to beat this dead horse, but understand me, it's a lot bigger than we make it out to be many a times, okay? It's a lot bigger than just handing out a tract and inviting somebody to church.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost of God brings that burden on people because it is a real thing. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. He said, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. If you've got a burden from God, you got to understand, hey, the devil's not going to put a burden on your heart to go win somebody for Christ.
Amen.
The devil's not going to put a burden on your heart to free up your Thursday evenings to go out and knock on doors. The devil isn't going to do that. He's going to do everything he can to set up stumbling blocks, to set up roadblocks and things that get in the way of you and serving God, because he doesn't want you anywhere near that kind of work.
Amen.
God's stamp of approval is on that burden. I'll say this, and I found it to be true in my life. You pray for God to give you a burden, he'll answer that prayer every time. You pray for God to intensify your burden, he'll answer that prayer every time. And not only do we see the witness of Paul's burden, but we see the weight of Paul's burden. Go back to verse number 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. This burden was something that Paul woke up every morning and thought about. And every night when he pillowed his head, that was what was on his mind, was the work of God and the furtherance of the gospel. I go so far as to say, I bet there's not a day that goes by that you're not wanting to be there in Scotland, where you can reach those people, where you can get that church plan, where you can build something for the glory of God. And it's heavy. And with each and every passing day, however it is that you're serving in the church, whether God's telling you to run that van, whether you're teaching those little kids in Sunday school or in Sunday morning children's church, I pray that God makes that burden heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. He said, with great sorrow, great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Paul testifies in the book of Acts, and his very own words say this: therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Listen to what he says in verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. It's like the old songwriter says. He says, you can have all the silver, you can have all the gold, you can have all the kingdoms, you can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Paul says, I'm not concerned with all those things that I used to be concerned about when I was worldly. He said, I'm not concerned like I was when I was a Pharisee with how I looked and what people thought of me and my and having this upstanding reputation. He said, the only thing I'm worried about, the only thing that I think about day and night is winning people to God. He ceased not for the space of 3 years. Amen. Brother Tom, we were out the other day knocking doors, and we were out for about 3.5 hours. And I got in the car, and I thought, man, we were out for a while today. Day and night, for 3 years, he ceased not to warn people with his own tears.
Amen.
You want to make an impact like Paul did? We were talking before church of great heroes in the faith like B.R. Lakin and Brother Lee Robertson and Dr. Harold Seitler. And so many times I make up my mind, I say, Lord, I want to do something great like those men did. I want to see you build up something for your glory. And you read of the trials and the tribulations that they faced, and you look at all the continual sorrow that those men had in their heart and the great burden, how heavy it was that they carried. And every now and then the Holy Ghost of God will come by my heart and say, are you sure? Are you sure that's what you want? Are you sure that's something you're willing to carry? My friend, one of these days we'll get up there and we'll see Jesus and it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
Every weight and every burden we carry down here on this earth, He's going to make it worth it one day. Great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. The closer you get to God, the greater that burden is going to be. Have you ever been out in public and you just cry? You just think of the person sitting next to you at the restaurant. You hear them and them and their spouse or them and their friend, and they got their foul mouth and they're drinking their alcohol, and right across from the table of them sits a row of little kids hearing and seeing all that. And God breaks your heart for those children, and God breaks your heart for those people. And they might leave that restaurant and get into a nice car and drive to a nice home. All the luxuries the world can afford. But they're lost. They don't understand. They don't get what this life is all about.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Let me say something to the men in the church here. There ain't nothing wrong with crying, okay?
Amen.
There ain't nothing wrong with being moved to tears over whether or not somebody's going to spend eternity in hell or not.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in the book of John, when he showed up to the visitation that fourth day at the grave of Lazarus, he saw those people and he saw how they mourned and he himself wept. Don't think you're a softy. Amen? I want to be soft-hearted and tender-hearted. Those are the people God's going to use. Amen? He said, great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. What we need is a good dose of old-time religion. What we need is broken-hearted Christians that will get down on the altar and weep and cry out to God and say, God, use me to win somebody for you. God, use me to tell somebody about you. Use me as that vessel. Use me as that mouthpiece. Use me as that witness. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to do what you've called me to do. Lord, help us. There was a time when I first got started preaching and I first started serving God, Brother Irvin, that I prayed, God, to fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost every time I preached. I prayed for that power from on high. I prayed for that anointing from God. And God challenged my heart one night while I was with Him in prayer. And He said, what about when you're witnessing? What about when you're teaching Sunday school? What about when you're locked away in that house and nobody can see you? Now, those are the times that you need the power of God. God help us. If we're going to be Spirit-filled Christians, we need to be broken-hearted, burdened Christians.
Amen.
We see not only the witness of His burden and the weight of His burden, but we see the wish of His burden. And when God gave me this message, I had to read the third verse several times. I want to be very careful. Anytime I get in the pulpit, anytime I get behind that little pulpit up here to teach Sunday school, anything that I'm giving you, I want to be sure it's coming from God, okay? And I read it and I thought to myself, surely that's not what He meant. Surely He didn't mean what He said there. And so I got into commentaries. And you ever notice when you're reading in Bible commentaries and you come across something that's kind of hairy, all those guys want to skip it?
Amen.
They all skip that verse.
Amen.
And I went into my pastor's office that day. And I opened up my Bible right here, this very same Bible, and I went to that third verse. And I said, preacher, I want you to tell me what Paul's saying right there. And he said the same thing I thought he was saying. I want you to look at the words of Paul. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ.
Right.
For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You realize what you just read? You realize that same Paul
in Romans chapter 8 that we read from at the beginning of this message, who's exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and expressing how much he loves God and how much... This is the very same man who said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, my life is everything because of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And that very same man was so burdened for his people, the Jewish people he's talking about here. He says, for I wish that myself will be accursed from Christ, for my brethren. You know what Paul's saying? He said, I'd go to hell if it meant they would be saved. And if I'm being honest in here this evening, I'm just trying to be transparent. I don't want to be somebody I'm not behind the pulpit. I'm not there yet. Christ is everything to me. There's nothing that I would give up. I wouldn't give up Christ for anything, so to say. Okay? Paul said, I would be accursed from Christ. What is it you and I are willing to give up? What is it we're willing to sacrifice? Our time? Huh? Our tears? Our treasure? What offering is it that you and I are willing to lay at the feet of Christ that He might do something in somebody's life and save somebody from hell? What is it we're willing to give up? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. God help us. God help us. You want to see God turn this place upside down for the gospel? You get a burden. You come before God and you tell Him, God, no matter what it costs me, no matter what it takes, I'm willing to give up anything. He told His disciples in the book of Luke, He said, any man that is not willing to forsake all that he hath cannot be my disciple. And so many oftentimes we grasp so tightly to the things of the world, to our own material possessions, to earthly relationships with people that we love. Jesus said, if you're not willing to give up all of it, you can't be my disciple. What are we willing to give up? What am I willing to give up? We need a burden, church. We need a burden. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, people are coming to the altar. I tell you, there is no limit to what God can do with somebody who's sold out for the cause of Christ. D.L. Moody, he heard a message, a single message that changed his life, and he uttered these words. He heard the preacher get up there and say, the world has yet to see what God can do with a single man who is sold out for His purpose. He said, I'll do my utmost to be that man. That man went on to plant hundreds of churches and start schools that sent out preachers by the dozens, and he reached all seven continents for the glory of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All because one person purposed in their heart that they were going to have a righteous, holy hunger for the gospel and a righteous, holy hunger to see people saved and to see lives changed. You know where it starts, church? You know what it starts with? A burden. Maybe you got kin, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, co-workers, classmates. and your spirit doesn't quite bear witness with them, and God is tugging on your heart, and God's giving you a burden, and right now as your eyes are closed, you're picturing them in your mind. Won't you come to the altar tonight? Won't you lay it at the foot of the cross? Won't you ask God to lead and guide and direct everything surrounding that relationship, and that He would use you to be the person to win them to Christ? You listen to God.